One, two, three.
Explain yourself quickly. Your pursuers are here.
Welcome, pursuers. I mean, listeners.
I like pursuers.
This is the X-rated, the X-Men animated review show. So do I, actually.
There's so much I want to know.
We'll get to it. All of it.
We'll get to all of it. It'll take us another few months.
Looks like we're going to be here a while.
We'll be here a while. Don't you worry.
You got a lot of them in the chamber today.
Well, I am the Lord Chamberhorn, so it does make sense that I have a full chamber. I am your host.
Someone who isn't wanted throughout the galaxy.
That's true. I am unwanted throughout the galaxy. But with me, as always, is my co-host.
Wanted for kidnapping and attempted murder.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Alleged.
May not have just been a wrestling storyline.
Alleged.
Let's not. Alleged. Yeah. Don't call your local police departments on Corazon right stuff. Here.
But you call your local. You're in like Phoenix, Arizona, and you call your local. Yeah, you call your exactly. local police department.
Constabulary.
The guy you heard on the internet.
Yeah. So there's this fella up in Nova Scotia. I think you better take a look at him.
Yeah. Kidnapping and assault.
Attempted murder, actually.
Attempted murder. Oh, that's way worse.
Yeah.
So, welcome to X-Rated, the X-Men Animated Review Show. We're here to talk about the X-Men Animated Show. And
Andre's here to play us a tune.
Well, I figured, you know, instead of actually talking about this whole episode for hours on end, I feel like this whole episode could be summed up in a single song. And okay, if you know it, feel free to play along. Or sing along, rather. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man in the moon.
Oh, I see, yeah.
When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when. We'll get together then, son. No, we'll have a good
together
time
then. Good time then. Okay, that's fine. That's good. I'm not a big fan of that song, so that's enough.
What? Come on. You don't like Harry Chapin?
Well done, Andre.
Thank you.
Oh, you know, it's just one of those songs that you've just heard. By the time you're 12, you've heard it enough.
You know what? I was going to do Fathers and Sons by Cat Stevens, which I think is a much superior, more superior song, because I do like Cat Stevens. However, I had this one already in my Guitar Tabs app. I don't think I have Father and Son. Or if I do, I don't think I've played it in a lot. But that one seems to be the more famous one, and obviously one that's a little more relevant to today's theme, which, of course, is episode 14, is that right? 15, 18, 14. Episode 14 of X-Men, the Animated Review Show.
Oh,
that's
us,
sorry.
Episode 18.
18?
That's not even close. 18, don't listen to Andre.
Season 3. Well, you agreed with me. No. That's why I asked
the question. We are here at the penultimate episode of Season 3.
This is not the penultimate episode.
Ends next week. So
no, it doesn't.
It is. There's Love and Vain after this, and that's it, man.
Are we back to the Disney? Okay, so the thing I use to look at the episodes, where's the accurate one? Is it Disney? So Disney Plus would have the accurate run for episodes, because the list I'm looking at says we got a bunch more episodes for this season. We got Orphan's End, Juggernaut Returns, Deal with the Devil, Sanctuary 1 and 2.
Very wrong.
What?
No, that's all next season. Juggernaut Returns is like the second episode of next season.
So next season has a bunch of episodes as well, then.
So episode 18, Orphan, written by Douglas Booth, directed by the great Larry H., as we call him here.
We have such a relationship with old Larry H.
Tells us to stop.
We refer to him as Larry H. Yeah, well, the numbering system that I've been following is woefully wrong. Yes, you are correct. This is the penultimate episode. Yeah. The next episode being number 19, Love in Vain. Wow, that's not even in this list for season 3 that I'm looking at. What list is this? Where's Love in Vain? Is that in season 4? That's midway through season 4 in the list I'm looking at.
It all got...
All right, so we'll go through with that one.
Yeah, you just got to go by the Disney Plus one now.
That's fine. I can do
there
that.
There are some squirrely ones out there. I think they aired it in a different order in every like country or every city even. I don't even know. But
that'd be great. Like, okay, after we're done the series, you're going to watch it in the order that it came out in Mexico.
Oh, yeah, exactly. We'll do it again. See if it hits different. We'll do it in different orders. Catching up with Andre and Devin. I don't know. We didn't get a chat last week. What's you up to? Go back and check out our interview with Brooks Wachtel last week. That was a great interview.
It was a great interview. Actually, speaking of that, my book arrived. Lady Sherlock.
I ordered it as well, but it's not here yet. Very cool.
Well, I have Amazon Prime, and therefore I do have Prime as well. You so a Prime person? Are you? Oh, well.
Not me, feel special but anymore. Tip my significant other.
Ah, well, that's essentially yours by proxy. So, Lady Sherlock had arrived. I haven't had a chance to read it yet because I'm currently reading this book. It's called Born by Jeff Vandermeer. If you saw the movie Annihilation or any of the books that movie was based on, this is one of his newer books. It's very good. The movie with Natalie Portman, Annihilation, did you see it? It's really good.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, it's super good. I highly suggest it. I think it's on Netflix. But
okay.
It's based on one of this guy's books. He had a trilogy called the Southern Reach Trilogy, and it's based on the first book in that series. So once I finish that, Lady Sherlock is next. Also, Pearl came out on Blu-ray, the prequel to the movie X, which I really liked. And that's something new and exciting. I got my picture framed of myself as Frankenstein.
Very cool.
Yes, the frame came in today, so I got that framed. Although it's always a hassle when I get something new and cool I want to hang up because something has to essentially get demoted off the wall and go to the basement, and I'm running out of room in the basement as well. You just have to set up
a sweet basement. That's where I'm at.
I do have a very sweet basement already, but it's already quite full. It looks a lot like that one. Yeah. A lot of board games, a lot of things on the walls. But aside from that, things are good. Busy with work and whatnot. But, got some personal things I need to get done out of the way. So, just for my wrestling ring for wrestling and all that jazz. I also had my interview for Battle of the Generations, which is a
CBC. You did?
Yeah, awesome. It was yesterday.
How'd it go?
17 out of 20 is the amount that I got right.
Wow.
Trivia round.
You left me in the dust. Was it the same questions I got?
I don't know because we're not allowed to know what those are, Davin. So I don't know. However, we're not supposed to really talk about what they were because we don't want to give those away. They kind of want to check your prowess as a trivia host. But it was fun. It was really, really good. I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. I'm hoping I'll get a call back. We'll find out. Wow. So they're going to cast 17 it by or December.
17 or 20, you definitely will.
And there's two I should have got. I should have got, and it was just stupid I didn't. It really should have been 18 or 19.
I should have had more like 14, but I got like 11. It wasn't.
You only
wasn't
got 11?
Yeah, it wasn't my best showing. Well, I don't know anything post 2000s. So,
I knew a few things beyond that.
So if Andre gets on the show and I don't, let it be known he took my spot.
That's right. But I will do you proud, my friend. I'll win the $25,000 and I will not give any to you.
That's fair.
And I wouldn't expect any from you for the same.
And I was going to split mine with you. Well, you know.
Oh, shit. Now
different
like
strokes for different folks.
Now I look like a prick. Sure do. Damn it. All right. I'll give you a nice Christmas gift. How about that?
Oh, thanks, buddy. That'll do. All right.
So what's new with you? Catch up with you.
With me? Oh, not sleeping a lot. Maybe doing a lot of podcasting because that's what I do. We're supposed to start the Simpsons podcast last week, but that didn't happen. So we'll start that Friday.
Are you losing sleep?
She's just not asleep. Well,
have you tried ether
whiskey? Whiskey? No, I haven't gotten to ether yet. Yeah,
you know, ether's know. Not I'll try all the chloroform also works, although it's I'm not sure how well that works on a developing brain.
Nah, probably not great.
All the effective stuff isn't good. Damn it.
Yeah. Well, why don't you take us away?
like to the sweet embrace of death?
I mean, can you do the episode recap first?
I mean, why bother? For this, it's all going to die. Nothing matters, Devin.
It's not about us, Andre.
The universe is heading towards entropy. There's no point in anything.
The pursuers, if you will.
The pursuers.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
don't let entropy get you down.
Well, you know, actually, and side note, and I guess this whole show should just be called Side Note.
So far,
the one of my favorite comics has just come back, which is the Janice Vell version of Captain Marvel, done by Peter David. I'm probably just going to buy the trade because I missed out on the single issues. However, yeah. One of the characters on it, or rather, there's an episode later towards the end of the series. I think it was like Peter David's third run at it. When they run into the seven, they make fun of the Endless from Marvel or from DC, and they have a group called the Seven Friendless. Who all their names start with E. Yeah. So Eternity is one of them, but there's Eternity, Entropy,
Ego.
No, let me see here. The Seven Endless. And I remember at one point somebody, I think Dennis or Rick Jones says, why are you called the Seven Friendless? Or what do you call the Seven Friendless? And he says, because we have no friends, which is it's just the best. So
Eternity doesn't have any friends. That's sad. What a lonely universe. Not
really? There's so here they are. So there is Empathy, Anonymity, Entropy, Epiphany, Eternity, Eulogy, and Expediency. And they're like
Expediency.
Yeah, I know. They're kind of reaching for some of them, but it's kind of funny. Like it's obviously a parody, and it's quite funny how they deal with it. Like even when Entropy comes to basically end the series, there's like Eulogy to kind of give it a cap off, and then there's like Expediency to like speed it up so they don't spend too long. So they do a lot of kind of funny stuff with that, which I thought was really cool. Yeah, it's neat. So where are we going here? I'm trying to find my season so I can get my cues up. All right, so here we are with
season 3, episode 18, Orphan's End, in case you didn't know, Andre.
Okay, I do know. See, the problem, Davin, is that I didn't queue up all the stuff I normally queue up on my screen before we started, so I was too busy trying to play Cats in the Cradle by Harry Chapin.
Are you just like practicing that before?
No. I know how to play chords, so I can just follow the chords. I know the song well enough that I know the tune.
Well done. I'll have to play something next week.
No, I'm the playmaster here, and that is all that I will be.
I think there's probably lag still because I need a new computer, so I probably ruined your song while singing along anyway.
Oh, it's okay, buddy. Maybe Santa will bring you a new one.
Maybe.
Let's go, Santa. So we open with a nice leisurely airplane ride through the pristine skies of some place in the States we do not know of. I'm assuming it's the States.
Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, I think you know.
Do you have a sound cue?
Previously on X-Men. Right.
As Empress, there is a part of me that will forever be alone. Goodbye, Charles.
Well, damn, add that to your friendless list. Empresses, they have no friends either.
Yeah, she wasn't overly friendly.
Little right there with Eulogy and Expediency.
That's right. She's up there with those lovely people. All right, well, I have some interesting stuff to bring into the end of this season, or the end of this episode, where we talk about the fun X points. But before we get to that, we see a lovely jet airliner going through the sky. And then an alien spacecraft comes flying through. Eagle-eyed viewers may recognize the spacecraft as the spacecraft of the Starjammers, which we've seen in previous episodes. But it kind of rocks by this plane. The plane sort of jars. The people inside are noticeably perturbed. I just noticed something interesting that I want to see if I can catch and kill a little time while I'm doing that, because it might be a cool point for later. Nope, it's not. It just says the guy's a newspaper, and I thought it was something important, but it just says News Daily on it. So yeah, the spacecraft is being chased by another spacecraft.
Not even a Daily Bugle.
No, just the Daily News, actually. It's nothing that exciting. Yeah. So it's funny, like, some of the stuff we get in the show when, like, they're just kind of filling in what's going on. So, like, you see the plane being – so there's a starship chasing another starship shooting at it. It passes an airplane, so we get all the people reacting to that. Then it kind of comes down to the water, and there's, like, a pleasure craft yacht going by with all these young, handsome people and sexy young folk running around in, like, bikinis and the – and it's like a, it's like if you pause anything, it's very 90s with all the suits and the fishnets and the green glasses and the purple outfits from like Jim Lee kind of X-Men comics, which is funny. So you see a lot of that. Then the it goes over the yachts, which then the other ship keeps chasing it. These ships look very much like Star Trek or Star Wars ships, rather. In fact, one of them reminds me a lot of Dash Rendar's ship, the Outrider from Shadows of the Empire, if anybody remembers that. But anyway, they run by an air traffic control tower, which of course they do, and they can't pick up what's going on because they're all moving too fast. The shooting is continuing. The ship eventually, the ship that's being chased is damaged, and it's makes its way towards the X-Mansion, in which we see Storm and Cyclops drinking coffee, talking about, you know, the regular rigmarole of what's going on in their lives. Do you have any of these sound cues?
Well, that can't be an X-Man. They don't get up this early.
Perhaps it is Gambit, just back from a very long night.
You do have it, and you played it at the right time. My God! Are you okay? Is something? Maybe this lack of sleep has helped. Maybe it's made things better.
Well, I'll tell you, it's made me singularly focused because I can't handle two thoughts at once. So maybe that's a good thing.
So they get a...
got that kind of money.
Got cocaine money? Well, crack if you're, you know, speed if you're on a budget.
Oh, I am way too classy for crack.
Well, speed then, methamphetamine, like just regular old speed.
What am I, 17? Get out of here on this.
Give me some altitude, old girl. Blowing up their house is no way to say hello.
So before we get to that part, we get a call. A call for. All right, they get a that beacon that the X that Storm and Cyclops heard was. Ragnar, is that this guy's name? You remember?
I don't remember his name actually. Yeah,
it is Ragnar. Yeah, I was right. His name is Ragnar. So Ragnar appears on screen, sending a message to the X-Men, showing a badge that represents that he is one of a police officer under Lilandra, and he's in pursuit of an enemy craft. And he said, you know, the X-Men could help. Essentially, a fugitive is coming towards their planet. So Cyclops and Storm put down their delicious-looking beverages, which are these hot, steamy kind of coffee cups, and run off to go.
I wonder if those came from the last... Remember when Storm and Cyclops got tea from that tea dispenser in the first season?
Oh, the tea dispenser's making a return.
Yes.
Oh, they're yes. Ruining your X point. You can say that. It could have been a mystery solved. Dispenser. We see the ship crashing. We also see the person.
Crap, that might have been one. And my X points suck too. I need that one.
The ship is revealed to have the pilot being, of course, Corsair, seemingly by himself. That clip you just played is now relevant. Is when he is coming into land and he's trying to make sure that it doesn't crash into the X mansion. He manages to pull up and just miss the mansion and then crash into like a lake behind the mansion through the woods. I guess it's a lake. It's kind of hard to tell. It looks like it goes out to the ocean. But anywho, then Cyclops
is it on Storm the X-Men's grounds?
Yes, it's just over there.
That's a lake.
Yeah. Okay, it's a very big one then, because at one point you can see
horizon they have a lake around on the property.
Well, one point you can see the tree line around the lake, except for a big open part on one end, which looks like the ocean. But there's a dock. Cyclops runs off it. Ragnar messages him saying, you know, they're there they will apprehend the prisoner. Cyclops says if they wait too long, their prisoner won't be allowed to apprehend. So he dives in to go save him. Swims in, takes the pilot out. Storm uses her ability to help get the ship out of the water, essentially. Or rather stop it from sinking long enough to get Cyclops and the pilot out. Then it gets sunk beneath the waves. And then, of course, Cyclops recognizes the prisoner as Corsair, the character we met previously in the Phoenix Saga. It wasn't the Dark Phoenix Saga. It's just the Phoenix Saga.
The Phoenix Saga.
Yeah, because that's when they're stopping Deccan and getting the crystal and all that. So he has dog tags on his neck. It's like, yeah, I was going to bring that up as one of my X points, but this is the first time we've seen Storm wearing a ponytail. No, it's all right. I mean, it's hard to ignore. Pretty obvious change in her. I got a few others. The pretty obvious change in her her design has always kind of been the same. So the ponytail is a very obvious and overt change, which is kind of neat. So Cyclops, of course, is perturbed to see that Corsair is the enemy that they've been chasing, thinking that he was a friend, essentially. And Corsair wants a few minutes to explain, but Cyclops kind of won't give it to him because, you know, Cyclops is a bit brash and headstrong. But Corsair says he needs their help. You know, and Cyclops is hesitant to help because, you know, Lilandra is like a friend of theirs, and this guy's a fugitive of Lilandra, apparently. Corsair gets upset by that and says he wants his dog tags back that Cyclops takes. Cyclops accidentally opens them and sees a photo of... Yeah.
Give me back my dog tags. They're all that's left of my family.
Sure, I... Wait a minute. This is a picture of me.
That'd be creepy, also, if this guy comes down from space and he's got a picture of you.
Well, two things. One, they're not dog tags. It's a locket. Two... wouldn't it be better if it was like a picture, like a sexy picture of him, or like one, like one of like a dreamy picture, like one of him without a shirt on or something? But instead of the photo, the Cyclops is referring to
not from his father. No,
well, no, but I mean, it'd be more funny if he was just like in love with him secretly or something. Not that he was a father at all. However, we do quickly reveal that the photo is of Cyclops, his brother, and his mother. And Cyclops is, of course, upset.
You're my father? Why would this... I don't believe it. I won't believe it. My father's dead.
I won't believe it.
I shan't believe it. It's like right for the Simpsons. It's like, I can't believe it. I won't
shan't believe it.
I can't believe it. I shan't. No, no. That's fucking Who Framed Roger Rabbit, my favorite movie. I won't believe it. I can't believe it. I shan't believe it.
Great movie.
So, Corsair and Cyclops realize, of course, that they are related. Cyclops thinks his father died. Corsair is quite surprised. You know, Cyclops asks what his real name is. He says it's Christopher Summers. Cyclops gets very upset. All that stuff goes down. But then Ragnar shows up to arrest Corsair. Of course, Corsair is trying to explain himself, but there isn't a lot of time. He says he was set up by the Ragnar. He's a dirty cop that's trying to cover his tracks, essentially. And he came for the X-Men's help, basically. But then Ragnar shows up wanting to capture Corsair. Cyclops wants a few minutes to have Corsair explain himself as to how he's his father and how he's still alive. This is a huge revelation for him, of course, but Ragnar thinks they're harboring the fugitive, so sends his little minions on laser ships off to attack them. They run off. They send Storm off to go. Do you have this line where he tells Storm to go to do the next plan? It's quite funny. We're like, they're running away, and then he goes, Storm, keep him distracted, and then she flies off. You don't have it?
No, I don't have
it. It's great. She's like, I will now fly to the monorail. And then she just goes into a hole in the ground.
Oh, yeah, I do have that. I shall meet you at the
monorail. Yeah, I shall meet you at the monorail. That's so funny. I shall meet you at
the monorail. That might be later as well.
An X point later? Is it going to be a Simpsons-related X point regarding monorails? Monorail.
Damn you. Stop spoiling my point. All right.
So they jump down through a secret hatch in the ground to a monorail. Ragnar has his crew scan the earth and see underneath, and they can see the monorail. They start shooting at it through the ground, trying to disrupt where they're going. Cyclops is pretty mad. He thinks that Corsair just left the family behind so he could go knock around the galaxy, which is kind of funny.
It was your family you sacrificed. You threw us away so you could go knock around the galaxy. That's not what happened.
Which is funny because he's basically describing Corsair. Corsair's kind of like Star-Lord in this scenario, which is funny.
Mm-hmm. Kidnapped from Earth and kind of forced to stay out there, but I mean, he could have came back. We'll talk about his parenting later, but
he could have, but there was, he believed his kids were dead. Same reason why Star-Lord never came back, because his mom was dead. Well, although he does have a, this is kind of funny, but
I have things to say.
There is a cut scene from the original Guardians of the Galaxy where they show his grandfather when he's a kid at the beginning of Guardians of the Galaxy, he sees Star-Lord's mother pass away and him run off and then get taken by Yondu and the other Ravagers. But he had a grandfather who was present when his mother passed away. And maybe that'll come up in the holiday special that's coming out. It would be cool if they did, because I like the actor that plays him. He was in Slither and a bunch of other stuff James Gunn did. But there is a cut scene from the original Guardians of the Galaxy where you see his grandfather sitting on the porch looking at the sky. It indicates that he might have seen Peter get taken. So, it was cut, but it would have been neat to see where they would have went with that.
Yeah, what if he's like this guy now that everyone's just crazy because he thinks there's UFOs.
My grandson was taken by a UFO. Sure, he was. Probably just think he's crazy with grief for his daughter passing him. Anyway, they're blasting up the monorail trying to get to them. Well, before Corsair can really explain his side of the story. But so they get to their next station, they run out, they get into a jet. They have all kinds of secret little monorails and stations and jets and railways and other things. So they run off to the station to the jet, hop in their little mini jet. As they're working towards it, a bunch of robots bust in. They have to disperse those guys. And where do we go from here?
Imagine the orphanage? The foster homes where nobody wanted me? Tell me, Dad, am I making this up?
Dad? Yeah. He's pretty, I like how emotional it's like Levs gets in this, because he's not usually, well, he has kind of been in the past episodes, but.
He is a man who is often led astray by his emotions.
He's been through the emotional ringer lately, of course. But they get away in the mini jet, which buys him some time. And as they're flying away, Corsair takes the reins so he can explain to Cyclops what happened. So essentially,
watching and praying you'd make it down all right, but as your parachute began to burn, we had little hope.
I kind of wish they would have explained how Cyclops survived that, but they don't.
Well, so that they do. That's in the comics as well. So,
I know. It's supposed to be the cause of the head injury that made him, not be able to control his powers, but not in the show. And I mean, you got to take the show as the show, because that's what we're watching. It's not great if you're like the only way the show makes sense if you read the book. It's not.
Yeah.
Then it's not a great show. Although this is a good episode, I do like this episode. So before we get to that, we see Ragnar find the ship, the Corsair ship. They pull out of the water. They find out that that is true. So we have one
amazing voice acting from Norm Spencer. I also think a younger Jonathan Frakes would have been a great Cyclops for moments like that. I believe in our little casting game, I casted Corsair as Jonathan Frakes.
He would have a great voice for it. In fact, just listen to him do the voice of himself. Well, as Riker on Star Trek Lower Decks has been a treat whenever he pops up on that.
Or as we say in Canada, MZ. Don't know where you're from, MZ, but up here you're MZ.
That's right. As one of my favorite villains from Power Rangers was Lord Zed, and I always liked that they had to call him Zed. So, yeah, because it's very Canadian to say Zed and say Z. We get the backstory here. And so Ragnar finds Corsair's ship, discovers Corsair was the only one on board when it was taken, because he was hoping to find the princess. Is that what she's called? They call her
the Empress. Oh, Empress. You mean Jandra?
No. Yeah, but I thought they called her something else.
Oh, Jandra.
I thought they said princess, she's maybe not.
I forget what they call her.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah. So Corsair talks the story.
Destroyed before my eyes by the Shi'ar tyrant, the Ken.
Destroyed before his eyes. I'm glad they changed that from the comic, because that's way more twisted.
Oh, we'll use that for one of your points, because I'm not quite there yet. We see Christopher Summers is his name, right? His full name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Major Christopher Summers.
So we see Christopher tell the story about how they often, the family often takes their private jet. I'm guessing Cyclops comes from money here. Because the family takes the private jet to their little cabin in Alaska, which is,
Seriously,
I know. It's like you definitely, and especially since Cyclops just went into an orphanage after this, like if his family has Alaska cabin and private plane money, you know, do you think they don't need that? So anyway, they're traveling over to Alaska, then a starship.
There's another Frakes connection. Cyclops is from Alaska. Commander Riker is from Alaska.
I don't think he's from Alaska. I think he just has a summer home. They have a winter or a cottage there, or a cabin or something.
Well, he lives there in his off time. That's where he.
Riker's from Alaska on Star Trek.
Yeah.
Is it a? Is it like a super warm place now in the future?
No. Somebody comments on how it gets cold there, and he's like, "Yes, it does."
That's fun. I didn't know that. I learned something about William Riker.
Actually, that's when they talk about Canada in that same conversation. But that's about Star Trek. That's for another time.
Yeah, you don't hear a lot of Canadians in Star Trek. A lot of people referencing what...
Just Commander Eddington.
Is he Canadian?
Well, yeah, because he talks about his family's like lucky loony that they passed down through the generation.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
And of course, they make him a traitor. Come on.
Super traitor. Oh, he was a hero.
To
the Maquis. He never betrayed them.
No, but he's a traitor to the Federation, and I'm pretty sure most Star Trek
Starfleet characters... never had a place in his heart.
Okay, Jabert. I love Deep Space Nine.
Jabert.
It's a far better thing that I do now, to reference that episode. But anyway, alien ship comes over, shoots the plane down. Shooting the plane down, they put an autopilot and put. They only have one. And this is poor planning. They only have one parachute on the plane for four people. So yeah. They put the parachute on Scott. Have him hold
Again,
on.
We'll talk about the parenting of Major Christopher Summers later in the show.
Okay. So, yes, Mr. Summers I think he's doing his best here. But anyway,
as a parent, I have things to say about this.
Oh, come on now. As a non-parent.
As a father, Andre.
Well, as a non-father, as a normal human being who doesn't get tainted by irrational love for another being, which, not irrational, it's very rational.
That's a good way to put it.
I think I can coldly and analytically look at these situations without the mask of familiar love clouding judgment. But anyway, they strapped Alex to Charles or to Scott, and they say goodbye, assuming they're going to die in the planes. It's going to crash, so they send Alex and Cyclops out. But the parachute goes off, but it also catches flames from the edge of the plane. So they think that they see it burning, so they think it burned, and they didn't land. And then when they prepare to die in the plane, they teleport away and appear to be taken by the Shi'ar to be studied, which is very vague.
What does Shi'ar need to study humans? You just throw your kids out of the airplane, watch their parachute burn, and then like 2 seconds later, immediately get saved by aliens. Like not saved, but you know you get.
Well, the aliens attacked them, and they're the reason why the plane was going down.
It's true, but it's just pretty funny. Like, oh, maybe we should have kept them on the plane, and they would have been saved.
Cyclops asked what happened to his mother, which you played there earlier.
Yeah,
Corsair says she was killed by Deken and the Shi'ar.
Destroyed.
He says killed. He says destroyed because we can't say killed. But Cyclops softens, of course, because his father's story, you know, makes it doesn't sound like he just. Although I feel like Cyclops is pretty unfair right away. He's like, "What are you just abandon your family and run off to go whore around the galaxy?" And it's like, well, maybe give him a minute to explain here, dude. Like, yeah, that you're
he's
you're,
got like you're, foster kid issues.
You've got some pretty far. Like, that's a pretty big leap in logic from what you know. Could have happened to what did happen. So,
look, their family's weird. He didn't even recognize his own brother a few episodes ago.
That is true. And that never comes up again, eh?
No, I don't know. We'll find out. I don't think so.
And it's so funny. Like, what are the odds that you're a superhero, a mutant on a super team?
Yeah.
Your father... just happens to have been kidnapped by aliens and turned into a space pirate thinking you died. Your brother just happens to grow up in a separate foster system and become a superhero for the government.
I like how you said turned into a space pirate, like Galactus did it like the Silver Surfer. It's just like, I have now constructed you into a space pirate, Christopher. Go forth.
I would love for Galactus to be me piracy. With cosmic energy and I can become a space pirate. I'm not sure that would fit into Galactus' plans of satiating his hunger, but hey, I'll take it. So Ragnar is catching up basically with their little mini jet. They land it and crashes, essentially. They crash a lot in this episode. Ragnar and his crew come out to try to get to him. We discover basically through Ragnar calling to Cyclops' communicator that the Corsairs want it because he kidnapped this girl, or he has this girl in his possession that can tell, that can lead him towards the vault of Lord Chamberlain, who is it's kind of vague who this guy is.
I don't know what Corsair told you to gain your support. The witness he abducted knows the location of the Lord Chamberlain's hoarded fortune.
Who's Lord Chamberlain?
I just can't get over the fact that this guy's name is Lord Chamberlain. He's supposed to be some alien, but he just sounds like some old British guy. It's like the Lord Chamberlain.
He's a basketball star. It's Will Chamberlain's fortune. Famed fornicator and basketball star Will Chamberlain. It's his fortune.
They're in with the Lord Chamberlain.
Will Chamberlain's fortune is at stake here.
That Lord Chamberlain. I'm pretty sure we're never going to find out who Lord Chamberlain is.
Yeah, so that's the reason. Then Cyclops, of course, immediately turns on his father, assuming that he just was looking for money, which is why all this happened. and he turns on his dad so fast. I guess there's dad issues because he grew up without him. But, you know, he thought you were dead. Like, if my father... Yeah. If I didn't know, grow up knowing my father, and then he appeared and said that he thought I died, and I'm like, okay, well, I can't really blame him for not being there. He didn't know I was there. But, you know, it's
like, that seems like an excuse. Thing. Thought I died. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Where's the child support money, Dad?
Jen, safe from everybody.
Yeah. Doesn't trust him. Keep her safe from everybody. He's just giving Storm all the hard jobs. Good thing she's the best.
So Storm goes off to find her. Cyclops takes Corsair as a prisoner and is going to turn him in to Ragnar. He brings him on the ship to buy some time while Storm's doing her thing. Storm's flying around looking for Janna. She gets kidnapped, Jandra. She gets attacked by the Star Jammers, who are hiding with Jandra in the forest. We see Chode, our favorite Star Jammer, and Overgrown Reptilian Chode. Yeah, and they do call him by his name, Chode, several times. Do you have any of the Chode clips?
Oh, yes.
Let's hear that Chode.
Well, this is one of the best Stormisms ever.
Save your breath for saving yourself.
Words to live by, Storm.
What's the name of the dude with the... what's the name of the dude with the cybernetic guy and the ponytail? I like his
design. That's Raza.
He's very 90s. Yeah, so while Raza, they bring they take Corsair off to be held, you know, while Storm's getting Jandra, Cyclops is waiting to find out the truth. Essentially, he tends to believe authority figures way more than he should. Our young Mr. Cyclops, Mr. Summers. So as he turns his back, he gets shot with some kind of a stasis ray by Ragnar. Who that's a good phrase, company man. You don't. It's makes me think of the show Heroes. There's an episode called Company Man where you finally got the backstory of the horned rimmed glasses guy, who's kind of a mystery on the show. Have you ever watched Heroes? Is that a show you watched?
Yeah, I watched the first season or two of it.
I watched it all. I didn't watch that one they brought back, like the fifth season when they redid it or something, but I watched the first four. I liked it. It was an interesting show. I feel like it went off the rails a little bit, but it could have been. The first season was pretty great. Although essentially it's just X-Men. All these people suddenly, you know, suddenly discover they have powers and they're hiding from society. But there was some interesting use of powers.
There was a lot of X-Men remakes on TV, and they're never as good as X-Men.
Not as good as Mutant X on Fox. I do remember Mutant X on Fox. Starring something Shea, the guy that played Lex Luthor on Lois and Clark, the New Adventures of Superman. And a bunch of people that
no one else you've ever heard of.
There's some deeply Canadian actors that you will recognize in most things that are in Canada or filmed in Canada. They pop up. There's a show I used to watch called Continuum years ago. It was a Canadian show about time travel. The girl from, I always get her name wrong. She was on, she played Scarlet on the G.I. Joe movie, the bad, well, they're all bad, but the first one. She was the main person on it. But anyway, of course, Cyclops gets stuck in stasis by Ragnar, who reveals, of course, that he is a crooked cop and wants this the girl so he can basically use her for his own means, I think. It's kind of vague on what he wants to do.
The Lord Chamberlain.
He wants to steal the money or just kill her because he's being paid by Chamberlain. It's vague. So anyway, Chamberlain is getting ready, or Chamberlain, Ragnar is getting ready to torture Corsair to get the information where Jandra is. He puts on a rather intimidating looking glove. Kind of like a rhinestone glove. I'm not sure if he's going to moonwalk and do a few dances for him, or he's going to slap him with it. I'm not sure what's happening here, but it's kind of interesting that we have another
look at it and feel jealousy.
That's right. It's kind of interesting that the next episode after the whole Dark Phoenix thing is we get another Shiera sort of bad guy. I know Lilandra is sort of a bad guy of convenience, but you know. So we see the Starjammers taking
not
Storm.
To mention, just right after the Dark Phoenix, they're dragging Scott through the ringer again.
Sure, yeah, that's true. Although they kind of reference that, which is funny. We see it's funny when you see Storms from the back, like with the costume, because the way her things work, they kind of loop like the capes. There's like two mini capes that loop under her arms. Yes. So, but when she stands, like when you see her standing with her arms, I think she's tied up. Forward facing the Starjammers, but her back is to the screen, and the capes look funny. Mm-hmm. They kind of look like insect wings, like when insects aren't moving, when they're just kind of depicted that way.
Yes, yeah, not anyway, a cape per se that she wears.
That was like two mini capes.
Mm-hmm.
So the Starjammers basically, tell Storm the Cyclops have been lied to. Ragnar's the bad guy here. Well, Cyclops and Stasis, the woman that is like a second in command or someone under him, releases him and shows him footage that they've doctored to show the Jandra being killed in an accident. They cover up their tracks,
mm-hmm.
Indicating that she's the one that told. Corsair mentioned that he had somebody on the inside that let him know that Ragnar was a bad guy and was going to hurt this girl, which is part of the reason why they took her. So, this woman is revealed to be the double agent that gave Corsair the information, knowing he was someone that could help them. That's interesting that they like doctored this really believable footage without the girl even being in their possession. Like they see her corpse and everything. It's like CGI, you know, like they're like, you know, wheeling off her dead body in the video. It's like, it's a pretty impressive video that looks like it was filmed. So, CGI in space is amazing. Like, these deepfakes are insane. They're really out of control.
Maybe it was from the future. It was from the future, wasn't it?
Well, no, she says it's from the future, but that's just to be dramatic, because they doctor it beforehand so that they can submit it to show that she died before they actually killed her, which is pretty sloppy. You think they could have just doctored an action to actually kill her and then record that. So they bust in, they save Corsair from further torture. They escape on a little flying bike from the from Ragnar's ship. Ragnar is in pursuit.
Oh, there's a great line there, though.
Which one's that?
That's the Scott Summers I gave my last parachute to.
Yeah, that's really good.
Why was your family on the airplane with your last parachute?
With one parachute. They're like, parachutes are expensive, man. As a family, we all strap into one.
We spent all our money on this plane in the place in Alaska.
That's right. That's true.
We couldn't afford
additional parachutes. So there's some fun little the ship in pursuit shooting down the little air cycles, you know, they kind of jump into the different ones. They're still being attacked. It's a lot of little aerial battles going on here until they get shot down. And then what ends the actual fight here? Oh, yes. So they the Starjammers had a little thing set up, essentially a way to redirect the attack, the shots from the ship back at itself. So as they're shooting at them, Corsair dives into this little sort of hole they have underneath it. The shot from the ship goes into this. It redirects the beam and shoots it back at the ship, incapacitating it and making it crash. And essentially, that's really it. It's not like there's a big fight with Ragnar or anything. You just, the ship crashing essentially stops them. It blows up too, and you see all of Ragnar and his men escape before it explodes to indicate they all survived. We get a nice moment with Chode here, where they're all reunited because the Star Jammers are there as well. Do you have this line?
Happened on Aldebaran 5, but it better have been good. It was.
That was from when they were on the. Yeah, so there was a lot going on in this little sequence. So when they were on the air bike, they were, I'll call it the air bike, because I don't know what to call it. They used a coded message to basically tell them that the trap is ready, which is the Elden Barrow 5 thing. Do you have the line about Chode, the Corsair says here?
No.
Oh, what? It's like the best one. Chode like picks up
the hyperdrive.
No, Corsair picks up that's later. Corsair picks up Cyclops. Or sorry, Chode picks up Cyclops, Corsair, and hugs them and says like they're one big happy family or something. And then Corsair goes, sorry, Scott. Sometimes Chode gets a little carried away.
I do remember that. Yeah. That was a good
one. And Cyclops goes, that's okay, Dad. Because yeah, I understand how he's feeling, which is a nice little moment.
You're back. Will you play catch with me?
Yeah. Well, that's actually the moment. So the Star Jammers are getting ready to take off and bring Ragnar back to the Sand Trial and Space Trial, I guess. But before they leave, Cyclops and Corsair have a moment. And Corsair says he'll be back in due time to kind of explain everything. And Cyclops says, why not stay for a couple extra hours and do it now? And Corsair agrees. He says, yeah, we can save a couple of hours. We can, you know, Cyclops makes a funny joke about how they could, you know, they could save a few hours with hyperspace, but you might have that.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't have that. I have just something at the end. Are you done with the whole episode?
Yeah, pretty much. So then they go off to go chat and fill Cyclops in on everything up to this point. And they have a little line, which I think is probably what you have there. Go for it.
So, you're going to marry that redhead that beat the pants off of the Imperial Guard.
She's calmed down a bit since then.
Reminds me a lot of your mother.
How?
Maybe I should wait to tell you till after you're married.
There's two things that reminds me of, and maybe I'll save them for
all right.
Yeah, was Scott's mom a redhead too?
I don't think so.
Yeah. So maybe it's not a reference to redheads being crazy. So. But...
Oh, yeah. Well.
Heart and decide.
Ratings from 1 to X. You first.
I'm always first.
All right, I'll go first. This one, I'm going to give a 7.
Seven, that's pretty low.
Yeah, for me it's low. Yeah, I don't know. I felt there were some things missing here. It didn't feel like a complete episode. Like there could have been some Alex stuff. There could have been more of what he's been doing in space. It just seemed very rushed in a lot of ways
too. Even how his mom was killed by Deken is pretty vague.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, it was just a bit of a yada yada episode, I think.
Kind of.
I thought there was great stuff from Norm Spencer, though. He really does some good stuff here. But not what I wanted from this. I wanted, so now what? So now he's happy that Scott's alive and he's going to go back to space. But that means Alex is alive, but he's not going to look for Alex. We got to talk about this. I could almost talk at another point just because Corsair is such a bad parent, but I won't. I'll leave it at 7.
That, you know, yeah. I'm going to agree with you. 7's a good number. I'll stick with 7 too. Like I liked, I like Corsair. I like space pirates. I always have a soft spot in my heart for space pirates.
Me too.
It's always fun. However, yeah, I feel like they could have fleshed some things out a little more. But all said and done, it was a serviceable episode, just nothing that I would write home about. We did see Chode again, and that's always a plus.
Oh, yeah.
Chode?
Everyone Chode. Loves Chode.
Full speed, Chode.
Full speed. Back to engineering with you. Man, I really need a new computer. My thing just blacked out there for a second.
Oh, well. I couldn't hear you.
I'm back. We're back. All right. You hear me now?
I can. Chode?
Oh, MZ agrees with the 7.
Oh, thanks, MZ.
But the Scott and Corsair's interactions make it tough for him. Yeah. Right. Well, now we're in our 10 X points. First.
You say I go first? You broke up there. Hello?
Oh, man. I'm going to put this computer in the garbage when we're done.
The garbage?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, the garbage. Okay, you can hear me. All right, Uncanny X points, you go first.
I go first.
Yeah.
Shit, I forgot all my points. All right, what was the first one?
Okay, I'll go first.
Oh, yes, no, I got mine. We see the first appearance of Deathbird, sister of Deken and Lalandra, who you see briefly as one of the people that kidnapped Corsair and his wife, teleporting them out of the ship. It's the first time, maybe only time in the series you see Deathbird, so it's kind of neat to see her on the show.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, she looks cool. I like the design of her costume. It's kind of, it's got sort of that Deathstrike, not Deathstrike, what's his name? Strife, is that his name? The X-Men villain? He's got that big helmet. Kind of reminds me of him a bit. He's another Sky or a Cable from the future, isn't he? Nathaniel Summers.
He's a clone.
Yeah, something like that. So
he's a Cable clone.
Yes. Yeah.
So he says he's the original, but he's a liar.
Of course he is. Cable's the original. Who knows? So yeah, it was cool seeing her in there. That was neat.
Okay, well, my next one. Xavier has built monorails in Westchester, Utopia, and Krakoa. And he's put them on the map.
So did the Simpsons reference?
Yeah, that was my monorail Simpsons reference.
Is there a chance the track could bend? Not in your life, my Hindu friend. What about us brain dead slobs? You'll be given cushy jobs. Were you sent here by the devil? No good,
but
sir.
Main Street's still all cracked and broken.
Sorry, Mom, the mob has spoken. Monorail. Monorail. It's a pretty good episode. Episode. There's a man here who can help you. Is it Batman? No, he's a scientist. Batman's a scientist. It's that not Batman. Yeah, it's a pretty good one. I must
look forward to that on KBBBL podcast on Friday.
Yes. I want my elephant,
back
by
to
the
you.
Way. It's the elephant song. All right. Well, the actor who did the voice of Ragnar, his name is Leon Ponal, P-O-W-N-A-L-L. He was born in Wales, but he's grew up in, or he died rather in 2006 of cancer in Ontario, which explains why his discography doesn't go beyond 2006. Or 5.
Welshman.
Yeah, but he's been in a bevy, like most Canadian actors in the show, he's been in a bevy of Canadian programs. Danger Bay.
Oh, wow.
ENG. Street Legal. Kung Fu Legend Continues. Million Dollar Babies. Avon Lee. Forever Night. Sci Factor, which is the one we always forget about.
All of them.
Those Canadian ones.
All the American listeners of this show are probably just like, are there only 10 shows ever in Canada?
Mutant
we just always
X.
talk about the same ones.
He's in Mutant X as well. But most notably, and our American listeners will know this one, he was in Dead Poets Society.
Oh.
1989. So obviously that was before he did this, but he played a character named McAllister in that movie.
Old McAllister.
Old McAllister. He also was on Alfred Hitchcock Presents on episode, which is pretty fun.
Oh, really?
And
is
the
that
short-lived
filmed in Canada? That was filmed in Canada, was it?
It was a great show. And the short-lived TNT, the thing Mr. T did from 1988 to 1991 after the A-Team ended. He was on that as well. He's a private eye.
Back to me,
Mr. T is a private eye. Can you imagine Mr. T solving crimes? Like, actually, like solving crimes, so like having to find clues and put pieces together to solve crimes. Can you imagine Mr. T?
That sounds just like Mike Tyson mysteries.
I love that show.
You just said Mr. T. I've never seen it, but yeah, it sounds the same. Sounds similar. Hmm. All right, back to me, I guess. Are we all right?
Yep. So,
X point number 2. I think I may have a clip. Oh, that's not what I wanted. Ignore that, everybody.
Dang it.
I need a new computer. Leave me alone.
And remember, Aldebaran 5.
Aldebaran 5, they call it. But Star Trek, there is a planet called Aldebaran. And it's famous for its Aldebaran whiskey. So I don't know. Quite the coincidence. I think maybe have some Star Trek fans in the writing group, maybe, and drop some. I mean, they do have beasts say fascinating all the time. I think we've got some Star Trek references in this show. Yeah. Aldebaran whiskey.
And garters.
Check it out next time you're in the Alpha Quadrant. Back to you.
Jeffrey Earls, the actor who plays the voice of Corsair, has two credits in the history of his entire IMDb. Meaning he only did this role and additional additional voices on Monster Force, which was a TV show in 1994, another animated series. I'm going to read the idea for the show, which actually sounds kind of fun. In the near future, Monster Force, a team of six teenager monster hunters, battle creatures of the night, monsters led by the classic Universal monsters like Dracula, the Mummy, Wolfman, and the Creature from the Black Lagoon.
That rings a bell.
13 episodes of the show, and that is all.
I mean, there were a lot of monster shows like that in the 90s, but that does
season one came out on Blu-ray. How did the show make it on Blu-ray? Season two was never released.
Nothing good.
Yes, so
must have been good. All right, back to me then. It's funny they call this character Jandra. Like, they don't really explain much who she is, other than the Lord Chamberlain is after, because she knows his secrets. But it just reminds me of the eventual daughter of Charles Xavier and Lalandra in the comics, whose name is Xandra. So I just thought that was a funny little coincidence. Being
how many bastard children does Charles Xavier have?
Two, I think. Legion and Xandra.
Wasn't Proteus one of his too?
No, Proteus is Moira McTaggart's son with Kevin McTaggart.
Oh, okay.
So no, the comics. Kevin McTaggart.
I never watched the show Legion. Does Xavier show? I know he is. Does Xavier show up on that show?
I don't think so. I didn't finish it though. It was pretty good.
I've heard it was pretty good.
It's just hard for a show to keep my attention that isn't Star Trek or X-Men these days.
It is X-Men. It literally is X-Men. It's based on X-Men. His name is Legion. He's the son of Charles Xavier. He fights the Shadow King.
But, you know,
there's mutants.
Shadow King was cool in it, actually. That was well done. Not as powerful as Shadow King should be, but, like, Legion's insanely powerful, too, so you can't really go all into that. But who knows? Like, the portrayal was pretty good. I thought they could probably bring that actor back, play Legion in the MCU. Why not? But and Aubrey Plaza was
Dan Stevens. He's a fantastic actor.
Yeah, Dan Stevens is good, and Aubrey
Plaza recently just appeared.
She has been brought back.
One show I deeply she's going to be on the
Coven of Chaos. Yeah.
Dan Stevens just appeared on a show I highly recommend, The Cabinet of Curiosities, the Guillermo del Toro show on Netflix. He's in an episode with Martin Starr, who you may recognize as Peter Parker's kind of nerdy teacher in the Spider-Man movies, the new ones, with the glasses. He used to be in Freaks and Geeks. And
he was in
Freaks and Geeks.
Silicon Valley.
He's on that too. Katie Minucci from Garfunkel Notes. If you like Big Bang Theory, which I do not, she was on that as well. But she's
Big Bang Theory is not comedy. You've heard it here.
I'm trying not to yuck on other people's yum. If people like it, that's fine. It's just not for me. I just any show that the humor is specifically just that they're nerds. It's like, look, they're playing D&D. Like that's like and what really
annoys if there wasn't me the most a laugh track, you'd never know where you're supposed to laugh.
Yeah. What annoys me the most about those things is when, like, girls go into the comic store and, like, every nerd stops and stares at them. Yeah. It's like, no way a girl would go in a comic store. It's like, it's very exclusionary, and I don't like it. You don't want to make women feel like they don't belong in, you know, places like that, because they hardly belong and should be there, because nerds come in all shapes and sizes and genders. So I really hate when people isolate a gender from, you know, nerddom, because I think it's stupid. That always drove me nuts.
Me too.
All right, is this Dude's Turn Me? I don't know. Was that? I don't think that was my point. I think it was just talking about Dan Stevens. We talked about Legion.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, because you were. It's back to you. You were asking about the children of Charles Xavier spread all over the world.
Yes,
and universe.
It'd be great if he was like. There's a great series by Garth Ennis called Jimmy's Bastards about like a James Bond type. Obviously Jimmy being a James Bond type parody, like of a secret agent that had secret children all around the world that start finding each other. Cause you know, Bond sleeps with everybody in that show, in those movies. So, yeah, it's pretty, pretty funny. So, next point, Starjammers. I think this is the last we see of them, which is sad because I really enjoyed them. They're fun little space pirates. I want to see more space adventures, and I really kind of miss the idea that, or wish that, you know, the interest in Marvel was high enough that back in the day they could have done with a more cohesive universe with the animated stuff. I know Spider-Man and X-Men crossover, but that's about it for the crossovers. And I think Iron Man, well, there's two episodes in Spider-Man where there's a crossover.
Yeah, Iron Man, Fantastic Four, they might have crossed over.
You do see Captain America in this, was it Old Soldiers?
In this one. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's, you know, in the past. There is reference to, because on the Spider-Man cartoon, which I remember being annoyed by it, and if we do that as a show eventually, we'll probably come across that. But their version of Electro is like the son of Red Skull or something, and it's a whole other. He's got a whole different what? Origin.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's a very different origin for him. I remember. And he looks quite different, too. I remember not liking what they did with him at the time, and I'm sure if we do that...
I thought I remembered him looking like the old classic...
I think he has the costume, but without the mask. Okay. Yeah, I'll have to look up exactly what it is.
I must be thinking of the 60s series. That was definitely classic.
That was definitely classic. But yeah, no, I wish that we would have... I wish, like, maybe on Silver Surfer, we would have saw the Starjammer show up, and they would have been the same characters. Would have been fun to have all that. So, in Spider-Man Unlimited when he goes to the Counter Earth, we would have seen that. So that'd be fun.
I didn't watch Spider-Man Unlimited.
It's only one season. It was interesting. The High Evolutionary was the villain.
That
was
interesting.
Yeah, it was all right.
All right. Well, back to me. I sort of mentioned it earlier, but Havoc. Just like all right, here's where I'm going to get into Corsair's parenting. Okay, so seeing the parachute burn up, the snow down there where they drop them over that's not enough. If you're a parent, you can't just assume your child is dead. You have to go back and find out for sure. Like, this is insane.
Well, they were taken away in years past, so.
It just doesn't matter, man. He eventually escaped and became a space pirate. His first thing should have been
fire.
Beeline back to Earth. Try to find his kids. Maybe one of them survives. Maybe one landed on the other one. Like, who knows, right? But they both survived. He didn't know that because he's a terrible father. And the whole single parachute thing in the first place. He is a careless individual. And he's a major. I wouldn't want to serve under him in any sort of military. Whew. Corsair, stick to space pirating. Maybe remember Alex. Come back, look for him. Like, what happened there? Like, there's some plot holes in this one. I really probably could have gave it a 6, but I'm sticking with 7. It's like, God, just doesn't make Corsair look very good this episode.
you know, I'm okay with it. It's a cartoon.
You just like his cool, carelessness hairstyle.
I really do. I really do, actually. The little mustache, and like he's got that swashbuckling sort of way about him. You even got the kind of pirate boots but like, why would you wear those in space? Who knows? But like, it's almost like what an American or like an Earth person that likes pirates that's free to roam space would dress like, knowing that it didn't matter and he could just be who he wanted to be.
It's like, why does he need armored shoulder pads?
No, maybe someone's going to shoot you. Maybe shoulders are an often shot at thing in space. I don't know. Don't ask me to
Last point.
Well, now I went in a rabbit hole trying to find this picture of Electro from the
rabbit hole.
It's all right. Final point being, interesting use of only two characters. We only really have two X-Men in this entire episode, and that is Storm and Cyclops, who are the co-team captains, essentially, of the X-Men. So it's interesting that they are the two that are left behind, and that whatever mission, they do reference that the other X-Men aren't there. They're off helping somebody else, they say. Nice and vague.
There's a lot of that in this series.
Yeah. They
do make a point to mention it. They're just like, don't worry. We know these characters aren't here.
But I kind of like that because if they were like an actual team that are policing like mutants or trying to help or be superheroes, essentially, it makes sense they would break off and go do different missions and things. If it doesn't need all of them, why send all of them? Because they could, you know, help more people if they spread out. So I like that. It's cool when they're all together, but.
I like the different crew team ups too. Like the. Rumored to start doing more MCU movies,
but since Cyclops and Storm are like fairly leaderly in their behavior, there's not a lot of like comedy or goofy in between stuff with these two.
No,
which is nice because there is mostly keep the comedy to the Starjammers or the characters like that that are kind of funny. But I like that they keep that continuity strict with their depictions and don't ease into more comedy just with those two characters because they have no other character to do it with.
And once again, they were like, Storm was going to beat the Starjammers all by herself. And then someone just sneaky gets her at the end. But Storm's schooling everybody. Actually, that was going to be one of my X points that I skipped over, too, was the fact there's like the little leaders team up there.
Yeah.
The leaders of the X-Men. That's just pretty cool that they gave them a one on their own. I mean, that's an A team. If you send those two to solve a problem, I mean, that's pretty good. But my last one is, so they explain the alternate fate of Scott's mother. Now, if we believe that she was in fact destroyed in front of Corsair's eyes and not made the concubine of Deken, then that means there is no Vulcan, Gabriel Summers. And so we can, unless there's a retcon, we can count that character out from the new series. So any Vulcan fans, he likely doesn't exist in this world. On this series.
Very nice.
Of course, Corsair came back, MZ says. I think Xavier would wipe his mind to keep Scott to himself. That's funny.
He's my son now.
Must probe deeper.
Deeper. I forgot about that. Must probe deeper.
Classic. All right. So,
hey, check this out.
This is our comic reminiscences and recommendations. You go first, Andre, because mine's over on the table there. I gotta go get it.
Well,
you got something?
I decided.
Oh, you do.
For comics? Yep. I decided to grab something that is all right, I'll just explain it. So J.M. DeMatteis, and most people may know as an author who did a lot of comic books in the 80s, 90s, and onward. Most notably did the European version of the Justice League or the Justice League International. That was the funny version of Justice League that came out in the 80s with Kevin Maguire, and he was the author of those. He did a series for Vertigo. I don't know if it was Vertigo initially, but it was for DC, I think. However, this version, I believe it was re-released by Dark Horse, because I think it was a creator-owned book. So you obviously took it somewhere else and got it re-released. But if I recall correctly, the initial issues of this were done on Vertigo. And it is it struck me as something relevant to this series, or to this particular episode, because it's about an orphan that grows up looking at a father figure that necessarily isn't the right person for him. It's a real coming-of-age story, kind of spent centered around space. It's a beautiful and haunting original story, according to Ray Bradbury, and Michael Moorcock also really loved it. So it's called Moonshadow. And if you haven't seen it, this is the collection that has the whole series in it. There was, I think it was a 12-part series and then a kind of a coda at the end. But
who's the writer on that?
J.M. DeMatteis, who did like Justice League International, like the funny Justice League. He did Spider-Man for a while, I think. He did a lot
Spider-Man.
Of Yep. Mm-hmm. Beautiful artwork. It's watercolor. It's basically like a fairy tale, like a space fairy tale. And it's something I'm really overdue to read, but I remember loving it the first time I read it. It's got really dark stories, ideas about growing up, about all the things that come with growing, finding the wrong father figures, the wrong people to follow, and what that means. But it's really the whole life of this this orphan, and it's delightful. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to describe without giving too much of it away, but definitely check it out. Moonshadow by James DeMatteis.
All right, well,
if you love Sandman, you'll love this.
I got a couple things here. But if you don't love Sandman,
you'll still love this.
Okay.
You don't love Sandman? Oh my God, we can't be friends.
I only read Preludes and Nocturnes, but it didn't grab me. It didn't make me want to read more.
Oh my God.
I don't really dream, so things about dreams usually bore me to tears, to be honest. So mine, I don't have one of them I don't have here, because I always borrowed X-Dan's copy. X-Man Dan, friend of the show. Rise and Fall of the Shi'ar Empire, since I mentioned Vulcan and the Shi'ar and everything in this episode, that's a great story. Check that one out for sure. Rise and Fall of the Shi'ar Empire. But also, my main one, because I also talked about Star Trek, and we had space battles and stuff. If you like the amazing series, Star Trek Lower Decks, there was a 3-issue comic book that came out. Well, issue 3 is not out till next week, but, you know, there you have it, the Vampire Boimler there. No spoilers, but, you know, it's awesome. It's written by Ryan North, who is one of
I love Ryan North, really. He's fantastic.
Yeah, man, and he writes it in the Squirrel Girl style, so it the whole thing feels like exactly like a Lower Decks episode. It could have been an episode, but it has, like, the subtext at the bottom of each page that he does in Squirrel Girl. Like, I love Ryan North comics. They take twice as long to read as other comics. You get a lot of bang for your buck with that subtext that he does, at least with Squirrel Girl and this. I don't know if he does that in his other stuff. But
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so Lower Decks, check it out. It's only 3 issues. Get it. They're thick. Like, it's a good story. It probably would have had to have been a two-parter of the show, really. Mm-hmm. If they wanted to do it that way.
I do love the show.
Yeah, I want more. I'm tempted to just start, like, mailing letters to IDW and Ryan North to get more of it, because it's amazing and I want more. And everyone watch Lower Decks. If you like Rick and Morty, Lower Decks is better than that. Done by a lot of the same people, Mike McMahon.
I do love Rick and Morty.
Something to do with, oh man, check out Lower Decks. It's so good. But it's like it's zany and crazy, but it still feels like a lived-in world of Star Trek. Like, it feels like it's just like a zany sequel to TNG. It's crazy. So that's my Star Trek rant for this episode. Now what we got? What's your remote taking us to tonight, Andre?
Well, only because I recently went to I got some free tickets because a friend couldn't go, but he had bought some to see the stage version of this book. This book was previously adapted into a film, an amazing film, which does fit into the 90s motif, as I have been constrained to follow. And that is James Caan and Kathy Bates' Misery.
Oh, my God.
Fantastic movie. And I actually watched a show. Actually, I watched a movie on the weekend called, this is my recommendation for new movies, The Menu with Ralph Fiennes, which is superb. Very, very good. If you've ever felt like your art, whatever that art may be, isn't appreciated by people, this is the movie for you.
My art's podcasting, and I'm greatly appreciated.
Well, it kind of
I can't relate.
Well, it kind of makes fun of foodies. It kind of makes fun of people on every side of that coin. Also losing the passion for your art and becoming jaded over the years of doing things and stuff that I think anybody that's been around the block for a while can relate to. It's an amazingly good movie, and I highly suggest it. But it made me think about that. about the connections to you know, artists and the art, the fans and the complicated relationship sometimes between the two of them. In fact, I watched a movie last night called Big Fan with Patton Oswalt. It was a very independent, low budget movie about like an ultimate sports fan who gets beat up by his favorite quarterback. He sees him at a bar, follows him, and then gets the shit kicked out of him by him. And then the complicated relationship with him deciding if he wants to press charges because that'll make his team maybe not do so well because the quarterback's an integral part of that team. So it's a very interesting movie. It's very low budget, but it's amazing performance from Patton Oswalt. Very, very well done. And Michael Rappaport's in it too, which is also good. But anyway, Misery, Stephen King adaptation, fantastic. Kathy Bates is what put her on the map.
James She's Caan amazing is, in everything, though.
Yeah, she Bates. Is. And James Caan is fantastic in it as well. The stage play I wanted to do years ago with the theater group I'm in, but the rights were bought up by professional houses. Wow. I'm not sure if the and I just watched the stage play Neptune in Halifax, and it was very, very good. The it's to do the what we do for community theater and then go watch for people that like make real money, like $80 a ticket money to the plays can do. It's amazing. And
I didn't know they did Misery at Neptune.
They just did it. Just we saw the last show.
Oh, wow. I missed that.
Ooh. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I bet.
What were you doing? Playing with matches?
It's 16-bit gaming with Super Nintendo Scalehorn. Well, on the theme of spaceships firing lasers in space battles, I thought I would choose probably the hardest game I've ever played. Like, I'm going to choose it as my recommendation, but I cannot get very far in this game. But it's fun. It's like the perfect... It's the perfectly designed space game were it not so challenging. But, you know, back in the 16-bit days when games actually had to have difficulty levels, they didn't just have to be time sucks, which basically what games are now. They had to have, like, there was a sliding scale of difficulty. So, you know, you have to have something on that far difficulty end for the, like, video game savants, like in Wizard and stuff. So, Gradius 3, super hard game. But it's fun. It's so fun because there's a lot of features. You can like combine your different settings for your ship as far as the weapons go and the shields and like your bonus ones. And you can change the speed of your ship by getting different tokens and stuff like that. But there's this level where everything starts to go super fast and it kills me every time. But I really want to get past that part too, just to see what else this game has. Because I basically just play the first level over and over again. Because that's just level two, the super fast part. I don't even know if it counts as level two. It might just be late in level one. I don't even know. It's a hard game, but the weapon combos are cool, and it's like I say, it's perfect if it wasn't so hard. So give it a go, everybody. Let me know if you're better at Gradius 3 than I am. It's a good game, but it is hard. That's my recommendation, because if you need a challenge, if you're looking for a challenge, that's it right there.
I love being driven to rage by video games.
This one will do it. It's up there with like Silver Surfer for the NES in its impossibility. Shit. Yeah.
You remember there's a game for the, it came out on the, when they put up the Sega Genesis Mini. It was like, you play a comic book artist that gets sucked into the comic book you're drawing, and then someone's trying to race you as you're running around. I can't remember what it's called, but it's incredibly hard. Hmm.
I think I remember that game from back in the day. It's not
the guy is like little black sunglasses and he's all cool, like 90s cool. The way he's
it's called like comic. It's not Comixology, but it's called something like that. It's like
something like that. But Sega game comic artist.
I remember the game. I didn't have a Sega, so I never rented it.
It's called Comic Zone.
I have a Sega now. Yeah, Comic Zone. Yep. I remember that game.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was tough. It's a tough game. Very tough game.
Well, you know, why don't we play a quick game since we're talking about games?
We shan't.
Guess the statistics. We've recently had an ex-goon say how much they like this game, so let's do it again.
Oh, right. That's nice. Because I hate it. No, I'm just kidding.
You hate this game?
Well, no,
it's fans like
it's
it.
Fine.
They remember this card set, you know, all this good stuff. So let's see who we can catch on the flip through here. Ooh, Apocalypse. That's a fun one. All right.
Okay.
Strength. This is the game where Andre guesses stats from the 1992 Marvel card set. Yeah. Buckle of
strength.
They are from one to seven.
Size of ghosts, right? Seven size of ghosts?
Yeah.
Five.
Six.
Yeah.
Intelligence.
Six.
Five.
What?
He stole that celestial technology. That wasn't his.
It's bullshit.
He's just like a guy who like Googled really well. He just found all this stuff and he just kind of Googled a few things on how to use it. Energy projection.
Does he shoot beams? Five.
Yeah, he has every mutant power, essentially. Yeah. He doesn't use them all, but he has like Jean Grey level telepathy, everything. He just doesn't use half of the stuff he can do. Mental powers.
So five was right?
For mental powers or energy
projection? No, for the energy projection.
Yeah, five was right.
Yeah.
Mental powers.
Five.
They gave him a two, and I don't agree with that at all.
Yeah, I don't think so.
He can do all kinds of crazy stuff. Fighting ability.
Fighting ability. Five.
No, like a two. He
doesn't, what? He's like
he
huge.
He doesn't know any ancient martial arts. It doesn't mean you know martial arts and know how to fight.
I think
he uses doing that. He uses sheer power. Speed.
Three.
Two.
Yeah, I was gonna say two.
Yeah, you doesn't need to be fast when you're a tank like that. All right, here's a good one.
Magneto. Master Magnetism.
Indeed. Strength.
A two.
Yeah. This is generous. He's an old guy, but he keeps himself in real good condition. I mean, look at those abs.
He's pretty shredded.
It's true. Intelligence.
Four.
Five.
Ah, what?
He can build like an asteroid space station.
Him,
his mind.
Him and
he's pretty freaking smart.
Him and Apocalypse are the same. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'd buy that.
I don't know. And Sabath Nara is like an ancient. Anyway, all right.
True, but I think if Magneto went back in time and stumbled across celestial technology, that would be much worse for everybody. energy projection.
Oh, five.
Six.
Yeah.
Mental powers.
Does he have mental powers? He can shapeshift and stuff.
Shapeshift?
No, I know. That's not related, but I'm just trying to think of all of his powers. Does he get into mental stuff?
Ever so slightly.
Yeah. So, like, two?
Yeah, it's a two. Okay. He has, like, a mild telepathy, it's been said.
Okay.
Like, he can't read into your mind, or but he can, like, sort of resist. He has, like, a mild form of telepathy. Fighting ability. Wow.
Fighting or Magneto?
Yeah.
Three?
Four.
I was going to say four, but I thought that was too high.
You think he can fight like that? Yeah. I'm surprised. And speed.
Oh, like a two. One.
Yeah, it was two.
Yeah, it's figured.
All right, we'll do one more. I'll let you choose the character between Sauron. White Queen or Omega Red?
Those are tough.
Or your favorite guy, not an X-Men.
Oh, let's go. My gay favorite guy, of course.
All right, Thanos, the Mad Titan, strength. Oh. I can't hear you. Can't hear you. We just lost Andre.
I must have hit the mute button. Sorry. Six.
Yeah. Intelligence.
Six.
Five.
What? No, he's way smarter than that.
What? You think Thanos is smarter than Magneto?
Yes, 100%.
Oh, I don't know about that.
He's a mad titan. He has a family.
Yeah, he's mad, not the smart titan.
Yeah, no, he's a genius. A next level genius.
He is.
Like a cosmic genius.
Yeah. No, not by cosmic standards. Like, he's nowhere near as smart as, like, a Reed. Or, like, even Iron Man. Even Iron Man's smarter than Thanos.
Debatable, probably. But anyway, okay. Maybe.
All right. Yeah, debatable, I agree. Energy projection.
You know, does he shoot beams? I don't think he does that, too. I've never seen him shoot a beam. Oh.
He's literally shooting beams.
Oh, I guess. Okay, let's say 4.
Yeah, he can do... He shoots beams all the time. 6.
Ah, damn it. He shoots more beams. Okay.
Mental powers.
I don't think he really has any. 2?
1.
Nothing. Yeah, okay. I didn't think he had anything.
Nah. That just shows you that, like, Magneto sort of does have that mild telepathy to give him a 2. Plus, I guess mental control over metal is maybe a mental power. I don't know. Fighting ability.
No, he beat up the Hulk in a fist fight. I know it's in the movie. 5?
4. Just fair. Speed.
2.
6.
What? How's he fast?
That's what it's. Yeah, that's fast.
And this is arbitrary. This is very arbitrary, this game. I do not like it.
Yeah, but like, have we ever like seen Thanos kind of open up and run? And if you're like referring to his like reflexes,
I guess
because of the Infinity Gauntlet, but there's that part in the Infinity Gauntlet where they're just Warlock and Silver Surfer are just waiting for Thanos's concentration just to kind of lapse. And then at that very second that his concentration lapses, Silver Surfer darts at, like, you know, in ridiculous speeds to try to snatch the gauntlet. And, like, Thanos was quick enough to get out of the way at the last second. So that's pretty fast,
I guess.
I'd like to see him in a run, like a good run, running race with...
Like, a foot race.
Yeah, foot race.
I want to see Thanos in a foot race.
Yeah, with, like, you know, somebody decently fast, not Quicksilver or something silly, but, you know, maybe his brother. Can he outrun Star Fox? I don't know.
I'd like to see him try.
No, I would too. All right, well, I guess that's pretty much the end of our show tonight.
You mean Harry Styles?
Harry Styles, who I had a question about in that thing, and I got it wrong.
I did not, actually, about him. Oh, no, I did, and I did get it right. I did, and I did get it right.
Oh, they were the same questions.
I believe so.
Oh, you are welcome. I should have went second.
Hey, now, come on.
You better win the money and buy me a nice...
Believe me, I honestly forgot everything. And because some of the ones I got wrong were ones that I thought might be there, and I just didn't. It's my own fault. But anyway, so I did not use it to my advantage, believe me.
Well, 17 is pretty great.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Beats my 11. I knew you'd do better than me, but I didn't. I should have done better. There's a couple.
Sorry, buddy.
But I'm not good at dates. Like, don't ask me what year something happened, because I don't freaking know. I forget how old I am.
If it's the same question I got, you could rationalize it if you think about it. And
I know,
a lot of it was me rationalizing, but thinking about it.
Yeah, and I was mad at myself. Oh, well.
Sorry, buddy.
Good luck, man. You're going to do good.
I don't even know if I got it yet. Believe me.
Oh, you're getting on it. There's no way.
All I need now is for you to contact your students, Professor.
Homework from Professor Andre.
Homework from Professor Andre.
All right. Well, it's not to watch the episode that I thought you had to watch next, that's for sure. Because they're all out of key. And even it's funny because IMDb's ones are way out of key, too.
Should we call this homework for Professor Andre?
From Professor Andre? For what? Even homework for me to do?
Yeah. Like learn the season structure.
Well, it just recently changed. So, excuse me, sir, but it's tough to keep on top of it because it's different on almost everywhere you look, except for, I guess, you just have to go to Disney Plus and look at how it is on the streaming site itself. Mm. Like, as far as I can tell, that's really the only way to do it. Because everyone I've looked at looks different, and I don't like it. All right, okay.
Now so we have an official order from the mouse.
The mouse. Our benevolent overlord, Mickey, has given us the proper order, and that is to watch the next episode, Love in Vain, in which we looks like we meet the brood.
Oh, or that's brood, awesome.
Something like the brood. It's hard to tell based
on the Japanese intro to this show would make you think the brood is in half of it.
Yes, however, they are not. And in fact, this version of the brood even looks different. So,
No.
Love in Vain, is that what I said?
Looking forward to that, yeah. I do like me some brood. I got the whole army of them down here.
So this, in which we meet, yes, the brood. The brood dude does finally appear in X-Men series. We also see the return of Cody Robbins, who we've only seen in brief flashbacks as Rogue's boyfriend.
He's out of the coma.
Out of his coma, I guess.
Well, so, I already know what my recommendation is going to be for next week. That's interesting.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Is it the X-Men movie in which she puts Cody in a coma?
No, it isn't. Oh. It's more to do with the brood than Cody.
Cody's a big part. You can't admit Cody.
Yeah, well, I'll try to do both. Get a Cody at Cody.
Cody's an important part of this thing.
Support the show, Patreon, if you like, patreon.com/X-Men Review Show. You can contact us at xmenreviewshow@gmail.com. Oh, wait a minute. Let me do a little bit of... You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch, but let's hype some podcasts here for a minute. Andre.
Did you hear me over that?
What's up on graphic histories?
No, I love that intro.
Mics.
Oh, okay. I love that intro so much because it reminds me so much of Into the Spider-Verse. It's not even funny.
Yeah.
I love that. It really does. New episode will be next. They're bi-weekly, so the newest episode was this past Friday with John Russo, the co-writer of Night of Living Dead, the script. What did you think of that episode, Devin? Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it. It was odd for John to do the interview in the middle of a cop drama. I mean, there was a lot drama. There was a lot of like sirens and like he was.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah. I don't know where he lives, but man, some must have been a murder going on in the background. There I tried to cut a lot of that out in the editing, but you know,
then there's like a dump truck backing up or like them opening some bay doors. I don't know where he was doing that interview, but it was a good interview.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a good interview. I enjoyed talking to him a lot. So
who's up next?
Jason Liu, who I haven't talked to yet. I was supposed to talk to a couple days, but he's been ill, so we were planning on talking next week on Monday. And and then that should be done in time to drop on Friday to meet with the deadline. So it'll be the new episode will be out next Friday, a week from this Friday with Jason Liu. Writer for Chapter House, writer for Marvel and DC. He's written for New Mutants. He's written for Fantastic Four.
May even grace our humble little show here.
New Mutants, yes. Yes, he is a fan of this X-Men series. And we hope to have a little overlap, maybe have him on the series as well. So he's also a friend of David Cutler's. And big thanks to David for making the introduction so I get him on the show. Yep. Also, have some. I'm hoping I don't want to say anything. Well, I'll say it just because I don't know if it's going to happen or not. But I might have a line on being able to talk to the cinematographer of The Shining.
Oh, wow!
Yeah, who is a kind of a friend of a friend, and I think it'll be a very interesting conversation. So I'm interested to see
the Shining
make that happen. The Shining, do you want to get sued?
For more Simpsons references. Tune into KBBB. Oh, I didn't put up the thing here. Oh, okay.
You don't get to see the
KBBL logo. I don't have my KBBL logo here.
Jesus Christ. You know what? What are you doing over here?
I'm going to grab it.
I have to distract the people, is that what you said?
Or, you know, entertain them. We're here to entertain the people.
Well, do you want me to get the guitar again? I can start singing the next verse of Cats in the Cradle.
No, I'm going to hear Cat Stevens.
It's not, wait. It's not time to make a change. Just relax.
There we go. Okay.
Take it easy.
BBBL podcast.
It should be Y-O-B-B.
Or B-Y-O-B-B.
True. And what's that be for?
So, you know, that out for, that'll change every episode. So tune in. We're going to rock those extra B's. Also check up. Hold up. We'll be back next week. No, we're taking that end of that joke a different way.
All right.
Hold up a movie podcast. The next up, we're doing environmentalism movies. Yeah, so that'll be fun. One of my favorite movies, one I've encouraged Andre to watch, Medicine Man. We're going to cover that. That's an awesome
Medicine movie. Man.
Medicine
Sean Man. Connery movie?
Yes, I love that movie. It's a great movie.
You've never talked about this Trust before.
Me. Yes, we have. Like the first kidding. Episode of our show.
I don't remember.
You were supposed to watch stuff. It. Oh, well.
I did.
Check out, you know, my little Cuters of Trek stuff over at Live Long and Podcast. Check out all the stuff at Live Long and Podcast. There's episode Bruce and the End Division there, Science Division. We got Debate 9. We got Class L Probes, Trouble with Trivia, the Locutors of Trek audio podcast, where we get into deep dives through a thematic lens and, you know, other fun stuff. We even play some tunes every now and then. We're going to do for one of those. And so, yeah, check that out. Live Long Podcast, Locutors of Trek. Yeah. Also, check out Super Mater Brothers if you like reality shows. They review the stuff like that over there. Check it out. I am not a reality show fan myself, but they got good. They break it down. I'll tell you that much. Trivial Debates. I'm hosting the next one. That's next week. It's going to be a music edition number 2. Ryland and Jameel and Chris Seymour gonna face off on.
Are that. You gonna be less salty in this one because you're in charge?
Yeah. Well, I'm salty when my host, who I vouched for, shows up an hour and a half late. That's when I get salty. Anyway,
well, I apologize.
I'm trying to hold this
profusely.
Shit together for you people. Trust me.
I apologize for that profusely.
You did too much. And almost I don't know. Too much.
I felt really bad because I promised you I'd be on it, and I slept right through my alarm. I was exhausted.
Crap, and
day,
another so. Image I don't have here, but newest member of the United Federation of Podcast family, other than KBBL, of course, is the Hellbound Podcast, featuring Michael Chan.
It better
and
be
Alex
about Hellraiser.
So if you like horror, no, it's about what? Horror movies.
And what? Why am I not on that podcast? That's the one for Andre. I'm out.
Yeah,
I
me too.
I'm
that's
that
what
one.
I said. I'm like, when am I coming on? Well, it's tied into the Hellbound Horror Festival, I believe. I believe Alex runs that. So sort of like
what? I did not know this. This is amazing.
Well, Hellbound Podcast. Check it out.
I'm putting in my official resignation so I can go to that podcast.
All right. Well, that's all right. I'll bring Michael Chan over here. We'll trade.
Who? Who's Michael Chan?
One of the hosts of the Hellbound Podcast.
I'm kidding. I've never been to Devin. I've made a nice little rut here, and I'm not leaving anytime soon.
Well, the amount of times to leave me is a form of abuse, so
I would never do that to you.
Find our audio-only version wherever you get your podcasts. Please like, review, and subscribe. We are a proud member of the United Federation of Podcasts. I think that's it for us.
I'm guessing we don't have a fun voice version for that yet?
No.
Federation Buggies?
No.
Right. I know,
but we're a video podcast.
Murph Man was working on it.
No, I'm working on that. Jessica will do that for us, that vocalization. She's a trained professional. And, all right, well, catch you next time, everybody.
Goodbye!
1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.